Hey guys, it's Matt here, and I got a story for you. When I was a kid, I was playing hockey, and oh man, there was this one year, this one team, we could not beat these guys. They were all over us. They were competitive games, though. They were tight, but we just could not beat them. And I remember the last game of the year, it was up against this team, and we were gearing up. We were like, we have to get these guys. When we won that last game, it was so satisfying because we finally got the victory over the team that had dummied us, that had dominated us for so long. I think this is the same thing with sexual brokenness, with sexual sin, where there's been brokenness in our lives and the enemy has come and taken ground and he's dominated us for so long, but we get to make a difference. We get to be part of a message and a mission of freedom. It is such a cool opportunity. So I want to invite you, men and women of any age, to be part of the Action Squad. The Action Squad is something that we're putting together right now. We're looking for 100 people to be on the Action Squad. There's going to be some competitive nature to it. There's prizes. And we're going to work together to help produce a documentary that is literally going to change the world. We're featuring stories of sexual brokenness, of people who have been restored and redeemed, reconciled to God and to people in their lives. And we're going to feature these stories in this world-class documentary that will be a resource for churches to host movie nights, for small groups to watch together, for families to watch and be inspired by. And it's going to highlight the problem in the church, but also show the power of God that is at work when we bring this stuff to light. And so if you want to be part of the Action Squad and help us put this documentary together, I would love for you to go to restoredministries.ca/action squad. You can watch a 10-minute video there that I put together on what it can look like for you to join us in this mission and be part of putting this documentary together. So restoredministries.ca/action squad. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Pure Victory Podcast, full of hot tips to help you win at sex, conquer porn, and find purpose in staying free forever. Here are your hosts, Matt Klein and Braden Hafner.
Hey, welcome back. Pure Victory Podcast. Matt here, Braden here. Good to see you.
Great to see you, even though I've been with you all day.
No, that's our first time, right? Yeah. We're batching today.
That's right.
Got some good interviews. I like interview days because we're just outside of us and we're just learning from everybody and having good conversations. Sam Black is a perfect example of that. Somebody to learn from and somebody that we've just watched kind of from afar, been in contact with a little bit over the years. But Sam Black, the Come to Nice Director of Recovery Education and also an author. And we're excited to talk about The Healing Church, the new book that is just equipping church leaders on how to talk about sexual brokenness in the church. And so, Sam, we're excited to chat with you. Thanks for being with us.
Guys, thank you so much for having me on. This is going to be a good conversation.
Oh, absolutely. We always have a great time with you, Sam. So we appreciate this. And I love what you do. I mean, Covenant Eyes was such a pivotal thing for Matt and I as well in our healing too, and using that tool. But we're excited about talking about this book today. And just give us maybe an understanding of what came about when we wrote this book. Like, why did you write the book? What is the book about? And let's just start to lead us in kind of what's in this resource.
Thanks. The Healing Church, What Churches Get Wrong About Pornography and How to Fix It, right? That's the full title. And I've been at Covenant Eyes since 2007. And over those years, I've heard so many amazing ministries really address the issue of pornography well. I've got to speak to so many pastors and ministry leaders and that were really pressing in, and they were doing this well. But I also spoke to many pastors and ministry leaders who are saying, how do I get this conversation started? What can I do next? So the hook is what churches get wrong and how to fix it. But the real content is, what are churches doing today that are doing this work so well? What can we learn from them? Rather than trying to reinvent the wheel on our own, let's learn from good examples. And that's what the whole book is about. I interviewed more than 70 pastors, ministry leaders, those in recovery who have been doing this work well. What are they doing and what can we learn from it?
I love it. And that's a lot of experience. And I love that it wasn't just your own thought, but you interviewed the people in the churches fighting the battles in their churches. And it's been a cool journey to see over the last decade, churches being more open to it, but there's so much that we can learn. So what are some of the primary things that you learned in talking with pastors that when they're doing things that are working, what are the primary things that are working in the church?
Yeah. So not only did I interview pastors and ministry leaders, but I also reviewed more than 70 studies, both secular and Christian university studies and other books, et cetera. So a lot of research went into producing good content here. I think one of the things that we miss, and this is probably on the forefront, is how pornography is undermining every ministry of the local church. And you're like, Sam, you are really blowing that out of proportion. What are you talking about? All right. Well, if we consider that the average age for first exposure for pornography is somewhere between the ages of 8 and 12, when we think of our children's ministries, well, they're being impacted by pornography, whether we recognize it or not. And if we're not equipping our parents, we're missing an opportunity to protect them and truly provide them ongoing guidance. It's impacting our teens. It's impacting marriage ministry. It's impacting our adult ministries. All of them, right? Because 2/3 of men in the church, 1/3 of women in the church say they have an ongoing struggle with internet pornography. When we dive a little deeper into that, 37% of men of all ages say they're watching pornography multiple times a week. That's Christian men in the church. 36% of those men, 18 to 30, say they're watching it daily. Okay, so now it's impacting our marriages. 56% of divorce cases today, a major contributing factor, is one spouse's ongoing compulsive use of pornography, right? So we've got that going on. And we know that pornography doesn't have an age group, right? It's, as you guys have been in ministry for many years, recognize that men and women in their 70s and 80s have struggled as well. So yes, it goes across the board. What so and you might go, well, okay, so we struggle with sin. What's the big deal? Right. So a number of university studies, as including and as well as the University of Oklahoma, here's what they found. They found a direct correlation between pornography use and scripture life, prayer, church attendance. All of these things were impacted by pornography use. A feeling of being close to God, doubts about your faith. All of these are being impacted by pornography. In fact, the University of Oklahoma study found that a direct link between how much pornography someone used and whether they would serve in their church on a committee or a volunteer role over the next 6 years. So that's the threat that's coming to the local churches. That's the impact that it's having. Now, we don't want to leave with just bad news, right? There's good news to be had. What I found as I'm doing this research for the book, all the churches that were addressing pornography well were reversing all these statistics. They're having gone through a safe place and a safe process through their local church to address pornography through a deep discipleship. All of those people that were going through those programs, they were saying, hey, I have greater faith now. Mm-hmm. I have, my scripture reading is growing up. I'm attending church more often. My prayer life is the best it's ever been. People and pastors were saying, listen, Sam, you got to recognize that I don't do more work now because I do this effort. I do less because people having had a spiritual awakening come out on the other side of that discipleship process, and they're excited to give back the freedom that they've received. They're saying, hey, pastor, I can do that. You need someone to mentor that person? I can do that. So now this, now these pastors are saying, I don't do counseling anymore. That sounds strange, right? But I've got men and women in my church that are having walked through a safe process themselves, know how to guide others toward a life of freedom and abundance.
Wow. Wow. And I'm sure as you're doing this survey, I mean, that's super exciting and hopeful to hear those things.
Oh, yes.
And I'm just curious, were you able to see some specifics? I know every church is unique. Every community has some uniqueness to it, depending on, you know, the structure of how things are, where they're situated, all those different things. Is there any specific kind of common threads and themes that seem to be working really well? And is there any other practices that churches have tried that maybe aren't working really well that you've noticed and may be able to see in your research?
Wow. That is really, it's a little bit broad.
Yeah, sorry, Sam. Okay. We ask big questions here.
But yeah, let's tackle that. What are some common themes that we saw? Well, one was that leaders were leading. they weren't, they didn't necessarily always have the perfect step, but they had a next step that they were willing to take. And so we always want the perfect plan. We want everything to be ready to go. We know what we're going to be 5 years from now. But often what we were finding is that you didn't need a perfect plan. You need a first next step. And that allowed people to create that first step in their own lives, right? Now, every step could lead to another step. And so we broke down the steps in the book, the Healing Church, What Churches Get Wrong About Pornography and How to Fix It, into an almost an easy step. And you could call it the easy button, right? This is something you don't have to think much about. You can get something like Covenant Eyes or the Victory app by Covenant Eyes. And someone comes to you in your church and says, hey, I'm struggling. I need some help. I need some support. Well, the Victory app by Covenant Eyes offers more than 35 courses. They're all free. They help someone understand, how did I get here? Why do I seem to stay stuck? How can I take a meaningful step toward living in lasting freedom? How can I invite an ally to come along with me? So all of that, that's an easy step. Then we took some small steps. These are small workbooks, programs that you can implement without a lot of effort. You can recommend things like the Samson Society for Men or She Recovery for Women. These were online groups that allow men and women come in. Then we have medium-sized steps, large steps that can lead to full-blown recovery programs. Now, you don't have to take all those steps. You don't have to start with the large. You can start with the easy button and step forward.
I love it. And yeah, and that's not overwhelming for pastors, right? Do you find that the conversation when you talk to pastors is simply geared towards men, or are pastors starting to realize that it's men and women that they have to talk to?
Yes, and that's wow. I think many ministry leaders are getting a better understanding that it's both men and women, and more importantly, children that are struggling with pornography, teenagers who are struggling with pornography. And those have kind of been off limits for many years. We've just talked to our men at a men's event, and that's the only time they might have heard the word pornography in the church, right? Otherwise, it was a silent, taboo topic. Gradually, more and more pastors and ministry leaders are saying, we can't ignore this anymore. And more importantly, their congregations are telling them, we can't ignore this anymore either.
Yeah, absolutely, Sam. And that's great observations there regarding to how this filters into so many aspects of the church. And often it's something that butts up against a culture that we have within the church, that this is just a men's issue, or there's a stigma to it and we just don't really talk about it. How do we change that narrative? How do we change that culture that sometimes has kind of seeped through into the church that we don't address this? We only keep it to that one box of men's ministry. How do we start to change that narrative and that culture?
Thank you. That is spot on. We have a hard time in the church talking about a number of tough topics, including sex, pornography, et cetera, right? And this is hard for our pastors and ministry leaders because sometimes they've gotten a lot of pushback. I remember a pastor coming to me and saying, Sam, let me get this right. You want me to talk about pornography to more general audiences, more my adult audiences specifically, regardless of age, and not just the men's group. Okay, so let me explain to you, Sam, that I was preaching about Rahab, and in scripture, the word prostitute is used, and I'm reading scripture, and I use the word prostitute as I'm reading, and after church, some little ladies came up to me and said, Pastor, we don't accept that kind of language in that church. And you just need to skip over those parts when you're reading scripture to us. And he says, Sam, what should I have told her? And I said, well, you should have told her to grow up because our broader culture outside the church has no fear whatsoever about pushing pornography to the masses, whether it's on mainstream television, even sexualized media is being pushed to our children, our teens, our adults. So if they're not afraid to talk about these issues, then how can we possibly be ashamed or afraid to talk about these issues within the context of the body of Christ? where we are called to redeem, where we are called to carry one another's burdens. You know, in Galatians 6, it's telling us that we who are spiritually mature, that says, hey, we're spiritually mature enough to handle tough situations, are called to gently restore. What's interesting about that is that right after that scripture, Paul goes on a little sidebar or maybe directive that says, listen, people struggle because of reaping and sowing. And if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. And if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap to the Spirit. And then he comes right back after that and says, listen, you who are spiritually mature, and I told you to gently correct, don't get tired of doing this. Don't get tired of this gently correcting, especially to those within the church. So that says to me that we need a safe environment to take our struggles, our strongholds in our lives to the church, where restoration happens, where the Holy Spirit creates renewal and change in our hearts, minds, and spirit. And if we can't do it within the church, then we're missing the opportunity for greater strength in the church. Hmm.
I guess if you can't talk about prostitutes from the Bible, then if you're struggling with prostitutes, you can't tell your pastor about it, right? And so to go on that, like there are deeper issues than simply pornography in the church. And so that example that you just shared is the word prostitute. And the amount of people that struggle, choose, whatever term you want to use, they go to prostitutes or massage parlors. That stuff is rampant too. Have you seen pastors kind of be even more gun-shy towards that, or have they been accepting towards looking broader at sexual brokenness outside of just simply pornography?
Well, that's one of the things I tried to unveil in the Healing Church, is that, you know, I am specifically focused on pornography, but I talk a lot as well about unwanted sexual behaviors or sexual sin. And betrayal with pornography and other betrayal to your spouse is all very impactful on your spiritual life. You know, Paul warns us very specifically, when you sin sexually, you sin against your own body. Right? Now, he's not saying that that sin is somehow is a greater sin than other sins in life, right? But what he is saying is that it's very damaging. It's more damaging to yourself and mind, body, and spirit. But it also has an explosion zone. That impact not only impacts your mind, body, and spirit, but it's impacting your relationships with others, your children, your spouse, your work life, those in your community, those who are being trafficked, those who are in every all the aspects around you. That blast zone creates great damage that is so hard to mend. And so it is imperative that we press into this.
Mm, absolutely. And I'm curious, Sam, too, like with Matt and I, some of the things that we learned through kind of the ministries that we're involved in is sometimes there's a reluctance to discuss some of these things because leadership, whether it be volunteer all the way up to a pastor, hasn't really squared this away in their own life. They might be struggling too, or have some areas that maybe they don't want to talk about or reveal. They don't know where to turn. So if they're struggling, mm-hmm. how they often feel like they can't really turn around and lead others in this area. So I know that's one area that we've seen happen sometimes within churches. So what would you say in that regard? Because that can be something that's really challenging for leadership, especially if they don't feel they have a space to be authentic, to be real about some of these things, or there's not a clear pathway within either the denomination or their church structure to give help to a pastor who say is struggling.
Right. I was asked to come to an event in Arizona where I spoke to at a denominational conference. And the pastor said, hey, one of the big reasons I specifically wanted you here for this denomination event was that I'm supposed to be retired. We had invited another pastor to come alongside me, and we were going to co-pastor for a while. The handoff was going to be smooth. But it turned out he was struggling with pornography. And so we disqualified him. He's out, and I'm still here. At that same event, I spoke to a regional superintendent, and he said, you know, I come in, I speak, I take over the pastorship while we're looking for another pastor in these different churches. And, you know, I just had another church where the senior pastor was struggling. We disqualified him. After I got in, turned out the assistant pastor was struggling too. He's gone as well. Wow. We keep shooting our wounded. We have we have a struggle with the number of filling our pulpits because there's not enough coming in after that can fill that leadership role.
Yeah.
So what if we began addressing this on a more holistic way? We start addressing it, one, in seminaries, mm-hmm. where we create a pathway toward freedom there and Christian colleges as well. Because here's what I've heard from so many missionaries and other leaders as I was writing The Healing Church, that, you know, this struggle started in childhood, that I began using pornography more prolifically as a teen. It followed me into high school. And I thought when I got to high school, I'd be around more mature people and it wouldn't be a problem anymore. And that didn't work. And so I was going to my Christian college and I thought I'd be around really strong Christians and that would fix the issue. And that didn't work. And so I thought, well, when I go to seminary, I'll be among the best of the best. I'll be with others who can really help me find freedom. And that didn't, what remained in secrecy and no change happened. And then they go into the mission field or a church leadership role, and they're struggling still, right? And they're under all this pressure and all these strains and a different culture and all these kinds of things that are happening. They're away from family and all their support. And when those triggers and all that pain hits, man, when all that stress hits, well, pornography has been a long, lifelong escape that they've white-knuckled and tried to just push down and fight. But they've never really ripped out the core roots of it. They've never understood that why did they get stuck in the first place? Why did they seem to stay in this revolving cycle with it?
Wow.
So we need to create a means for that ministry leaders can say, hey, I need help. Maybe even if your denomination says, hey, we need to step aside for a while, then create a means for them to step aside a while, but create a meaningful restoration program. I talk about that I wrote two chapters in the book, very much directed toward a safe process toward leading ministry leaders to a wholeness in Christ, first and foremost. Whether they ever return to ministry leadership, that's a different story. God will sort that out, I should say.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't be the end goal. Our restoration to Christ is most important above all.
That answered my question, actually. What did you said there?
Okay. I was like, oh, you were going to say something.
Yeah. No, so. No, that was good.
Awesome. Now, I got a question for you based on some of the stuff you're talking about, but the story of the adulterous woman, I'm not simplifying. I know there's more to it, but I'm curious your take on it, because Jesus looks at this woman, doesn't condemn her, and it says, go and sin no more. And so I remember I heard this pastor preach and in the middle of his message, he spent about 10 seconds talking about don't watch porn. And then he patted himself on the shoulder or on the back. He spent more time complimenting himself than he did talking about porn. He said, I'm not one of those pastors that's scared to talk about stuff. I'll talk about the bold things, the embarrassing things, like pornography, don't watch porn. And then he kind of moved on and that's all he said about it. And I'm like, wow, that was a bold statement for him or a bold stance for him to even mention the word. Mm-hmm. Right.
Sure.
And so in the weeks following, one of the guys in his church reached out to me. We had a meeting and he was just talking about a struggle. And so I asked him, I said, were you there that day? And what did you think of that sermon or that point? He said, I agreed with him. I agree with my pastor. Of course, I don't want to do it, but I don't know how to stop. And he said, I remember he said, it didn't help me. I didn't know what to do. And so we can look at scripture and go, Jesus looks at the adulterous woman and says, okay, go and sin no more. Is that the end point of the solution? Or what, if you were to break that down, how do you equip pastors to understand the broader issue and how to address it greater than just saying, don't do it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And thank you for bringing that. What I hear over and over from people who come through recovery and come out on the other side to living a life in freedom from pornography and other unwanted sexual behavior is my church didn't help me very much. Mm. Right. And so I think we often miss why it's so hard for people to break free, why they're stuck in a stronghold. And I can say that myself and many others who have walked this road have said, I have promised myself, I promise God, I promise others that I would never watch pornography again. I just never go back. But they are stuck in addiction, a stronghold, compulsive behavior, whatever you want to deem it, call it. And there's three common factors that ministry leaders often miss of why people get stuck. It's early childhood exposure, and it's so impactful on that child's brain, so impactful that pretty much any adult you ask about the first time that they saw pornography, if they saw it as a child, can tell you a complete and full story about that first exposure, though they can't tell you anything else about that day. Mm-hmm. Number two is the ongoing use and repetition that burns neural pathways in the brain that crave it more and more. That typically happens in adolescence, right? And number three, some pain or trauma that's often happened at a young age can happen elsewhere. And so these three combine to create pornography as an escape that has been done thousands, literally thousands of times. And so as an adult, we sort of look at them and go, okay, now you're an adult. And when you see pornography, just look away. Just quit it. Don't do that. God's not for that. He hates that. And the person's going, man, I've got an 800-pound gorilla on my back. I'd like to get the grip of this off of me, but they don't know how. And so that's where a safe place and a safe process comes in, because the knowledge precedes the understanding, and the understanding precedes change. I don't know how I got here in the first place, and so I just assume that I am stuck because I've just got this fallen nature and have missed how I have literally rewired my brain and corrupted it. As the proverb says, can you scoop coals, hot coals, next to your body and clothing and not be burned? Well, when someone carries around a burning logs for decades, they find themselves consumed, and they need some real support. The number of guys that I've talked to or mentored myself as a coach who have said, you know, Sam, when I got to day three or day 12, I realized that's the first time that I've gone 3 days or 5 days or 12 days without viewing pornography since I was a teenager or a child. And these are grown men. Sometimes they're talking, this has been 30 years or 40 years, right? So having practiced it so much, now pornography feels like this emotional need and physical need that they doubt that they can live without pornography. They doubt that they can really exist without masturbation. And so they've lost. And so what they need is a patient guide, a safe place and a safe process, because I built my prison bar by bar, brick by brick. I turned the key, locked the door, and threw away the key. And by the way, nobody keeps the key. And so, Matt, what I needed was a guy like you to come alongside me, open up that door, and help me walk out day by day. Not, hey, I'm going to be porn-free for the rest of my life, but can I be porn-free for 24 hours? And then the next day, 24 hours, and I just commit that to you every day, you know, and you're walking with me and you're saying, Sam, here's some things you need to understand about your brain, how God made you, how God made your sexuality, how you've exchanged the truth for a lie. But the thing is, my lies are very comfortable. And so when I have fear and other triggers, what we call hungry, angry, lonely, tired, mm-hmm. stressed, all those kinds of things, right? We can do a whole nother show on triggers, stuff like that, right? But when I feel that pain, well, I want to go back to what's familiar, and that's my cage. Now, I don't like my cage. In fact, I hate my cage, but I know it well. And it provides me a short respite that leads to more shame. And the more I feel shame, the more it reinforces this belief system that I can never live up to God's standards. I'm never good enough. I'm never going to be good enough as a husband or a father or a follower of Christ. And that reinforcing cycle of addiction just keeps me stuck. But Matt says, hey, Sam, another 24 hours, right? I said, yeah, I can do it for 24 hours. And then he is using a workbook or something like that. Like we have a workbook called Life Change at Covenant Eyes. Or you can use the Victory app. And it's walking you through understanding how God designed you and how you can live in lasting and ongoing freedom, where I can be more self-aware. And Matt says, you know, what if I come to Matt and I said, Matt, I blew it today. I acted out. And Matt says, okay, well, what happened? I just had a bad day. And then I went and watched pornography. He goes, you had a bad day. Well, why was your day so bad? Oh, you know, things at work aren't going. Well, what happened at work? Well, my boss yelled at me because I missed a deadline. And well, Sam, how'd that make you feel? Well, I felt like this is a lot of stress. If I lost my job or I don't make that next pay raise or whatever else, this is going to impact my family. And I felt like I was worthless. I'm never really going to get this right. Maybe it felt like how my dad would yell at me when I was a kid. All those kinds of things, right? And now Matt says, okay, now, so what you're feeling leads to what you're thinking, leads to what you're going to be doing. What's going to happen next time you have that kind of emotion? Can you unpack that emotion? Can you recognize that you're being triggered? Can you then say, hey, I've got already set up a plan that when I feel like this, I'm going to call Matt. Or I can do this. Or I know that I can be tempted. I'm going to shut down my devices. Like there's several things now that I'm empowered because I'm practicing James 5:16. I'm confessing my sin to someone else who's asking me some tough questions so that he can pray for me so that the Spirit in him nurtures the Spirit in me to create meaningful change in my life.
Yeah, that's great, Sam. And I'm so curious as you're sharing all that, one of the things that I think I've seen sometimes when it comes to our churches and being able to create the space you're talking about where we can share, have some understanding about what my emotional state is, why I'm acting out, what I'm feeling, you know, in and before, and then even after, and learning through that. Those are things sometimes that can get lost because there's some confusion sometimes about our messaging and how we go about sharing these things or how we move forward in having a pathway for people. Cause you can have one to the extreme where there's no communication regarding porn. So when that's the case, anything I share is something that I don't even know how the response is going to be. I don't know, you know, if there's going to be authenticity. Are you going to reciprocate if I share? So there's that message. Well, I don't know. Am I going to be the first one to go? Or are you going to go too? And then we don't have that in our church. And then there's the other aspect too, where maybe there is sharing happening, but there's no clear direction. There's no understanding of how to walk in freedom. We're having groups, we're talking, that's great, but there's no general understanding about how we walk in freedom because really we're focused on maybe a surface level behavior, not understanding the deeper roots of things. So you have those kind of ends of extreme. How do we as a church have a common understanding where, you know, anyone can go to any one church and the goal being that that person can get help regardless of, you know, what's going on. Sorry, what the church is like, whatever. We have a common theme, I'm saying, and thread in our church. I know that's a hard place to get to, but what would that common message be like to be able to lead people that are coming through our church walls?
Well, thank you. That's why I wrote a whole book.
Yeah.
Where can people find the book?
Yeah, where can people find the book? That's my question in a nutshell.
Should I just go ahead and read chapter 5, 6, and 7 here? Bren, that is one of the reasons I wrote The Healing Church, What Churches Get Wrong About Pornography and How to Fix It, because our ministry leaders probably need to start there is understand how do people get stuck in the first place? Why do they stay stuck? Why is it so hard for them to break free? And so I know I have repeated that a few times, but that understanding really helps a ministry leader press into this issue well and not lead people astray. You know, so often I've heard that, well, oh yeah, I'll pray for you. Don't do that anymore. Or, you know, there's impact on a marriage and he says, you know, I talked to your husband and he says he agrees that it's a bad thing and he's not going to do it anymore. Well, you know, that's just window dressing, and we really need to provide some better answers, and we have to study the issue to really be able to address it well. That's the first part. Number two is we do need to create culture within the church where we can talk about tough topics, and that is discussed in the book as well. How do we create a culture where it's okay to come as you are, but we love you too much to leave you stuck where you are? Now, you had also hinted at that there's this spectrum. And on one side of the spectrum, it is very safe to come as you are. But hey, in that view, everybody's got problems. Everybody's got sin. In fact, you don't really need to tell us what your sin is. We've all got it. Well, don't feel any shame about that. Just come as you are. You're never really called to change. On the other side of that spectrum, it's not okay for Christians, especially Christians, to have a stronghold in their life. Because if you do, then you're probably not one of us. There's a few instances we described this in the book. A deacon, a ministry leader in this church, came to his church board and said, listen, this is where I'm struggling, and I'd like your help. I want your support. I want you to know that I'm confessing to you. This is something I don't want in my life. I'll follow your direction. Would you please disciple me and help me? Their response was to not only remove him from the board, but ask him not to come back to the church.
Oof. Yeah.
That, again, no safety. Mm-hmm. So what we need is that center position where it's safe to come as you are, but again, we love you too much to leave you the same. So we're going to practice James 5:16, but we're also going to have pressed in enough to say, hey, I don't know all the answers to this, but I know that there are resources available from Covenant Eyes and other organizations that can help. And I'm going to pair you up with a mature man in Christ or a mature woman in Christ who can walk with you. Would you be willing to do that? That's at a base level, let alone someone who might have a pure desire group or something else in their church that really has some meaningful help as well. So again, safe place, safe process, but you got to start having the culture where you have your church board, the senior pastor is making sure his church board is accepting that we're going to have a safe place. We're going to get real. We're going to help people, whatever their struggles with, we're going to stand by them and help them find renewal. That's the kind of church, that's the body of Christ we want to be.
I love it. I love it. It's so true.
You know, I was at an event and I was talking to a pastor and he says, you know, my church is pretty small. We have about 65 people that attend, and practicing James 5:16 in our church is pretty hard.
So everyone knows each other.
We know each other, mm-hmm. right? Our kids go to school together. We hang out together. We know each other's faces and names, and it's just too shameful to talk about pornography or something like that. And about 15 minutes later, I was talking to another couple and they learned that I was working for, I work for Covenant Eyes. And they're like, oh man, I've just signed up for Covenant Eyes and I need an ally, someone who's going to receive my ongoing report of how I use my devices. But I don't know of someone I can trust in my church to be my Covenant Eyes ally, my accountability partner. I don't know someone that well. So it's not the size of our churches that's the problem. We need to ask ourselves, what part of James 5:16 do we not believe?
It's a great question. It's a great question. And a great segue too, to my last question that I wanted to ask was about Covenant Eyes and the importance of that. So what have you seen in terms of the importance of installing that or what have you seen in the danger of not, especially when guys are struggling? And just talk about what that is too for people who don't know what Covenant Eyes offers as far as the software.
Yeah, Covenant Eyes provides accountability software for phones, tablets, and computers. It's actually monitoring the screen of your device, not just the browser, et cetera, but the actual screen of the device. So whether it's coming from email or you have a flash drive in the side of your computer, it doesn't matter. If it appears on the screen, it can be captured, and then this artificial intelligence knows what pornography is, and then it provides alerts as well, and as well as an ongoing feed that again comes through the companion app called Victory. All right, two apps. So one is you download Covenant Eyes, and two, you have the Victory app, and all the reporting goes through that Victory app. But also within the Victory app, which is free for your ally or for others, anyone, is those 35 courses that really help you understand, how did I get here? Why do I seem to stay stuck? One of the beautiful things about this we hear over and over again is that I was struggling in so much because everything I did online was secret. Everything I kept hidden. And we don't recover alone. We don't find change alone. We need others with us. And people will say, just knowing that I was being open with my devices with someone else helped me be more conscious of what I was doing online. And when I felt that struggle, when I felt that tug, well, just knowing that Matt would get my report was enough to say, yeah, I'm not going to click there. It just gave me that strength in the moment, that day to day. It used to be that a computer, for instance, was attached to a tower. Covenant Eyes has been around for a long time, right? And people would say that they'd be triggered when they were home alone or at night. And so they could make an excuse that, hey, I know I'm going to be alone, or that my family is going to be going to visit grandma and grandpa. And so they'd create a ritual that waving goodbye and saying goodbye just so they could be home alone with that computer. But when they installed Covenant Eyes on the device, now doesn't matter where that device was, if it's a laptop or a phone, now they're no longer alone. They're no longer fighting this battle alone. And just having someone with them to really encourage and support them is so impactful. That was a long, long thing. I think, should I do that again just so it's more succinct?
No, I think that was great. No, yeah. I really like you fleshing it out. And if there's any more you want to add, but I just want to say, like, Covenant Eyes, like, that's a tool that, I mean, my organization still employs, like, we all have it, but I mean, personally, it was such an important part of my healing. Just knowing that there was somebody in my corner, there was people in my corner, I felt like I was in the battle with others. And not only that, I was entering into the battle, I should say, because often I'm like, I don't need accountability software. I don't need any of that. I can do this on my own. And I realized pretty quickly that wasn't going to lead me anywhere good. So, yep. Having a device, my device is protected by Covenant Eyes. That was something that, was part of me moving towards not only sobriety, but an ongoing healing in my life. And, something I still use to this day.
Yeah. And I like it because now I get to see when Braden's watching hockey and what Sadie's watching. And
I have a problem with that stuff. So that's a whole other conversation.
What he's watching on YouTube.
I get
his Covenant Eyes reports. But it was important for me too. And for your listeners out there, if you want to install Covenant Eyes, we just highly recommend it, especially if you have nothing. There's no protection on your devices. You have to have that as a really great and powerful first step. And so you can go to covenanteyes.com. You can use the promo code RM30 for Restored Ministries, RM30, and you can get a free first month for the software too. And we highly, highly recommend that you do that, as Braden and I both have. So Sam, thank you so much for your ministry and for spending the time and what you do with Covenant Eyes and with the book. And it's just so good. So where could people, I guess thehealingchurch.com and then the Victory app. Do you have any other places that you'd like to send people, or just reiterate those?
You know, I can't help but reiterate those. The Victory app by Covenant Eyes, you can download that to all your devices, and just encourage you to do that. So you can really, again, begin that journey of understanding. And then covenanteyes.com, where you can sign up for the software, et cetera, and thehealingchurch.com.
Awesome.
Perfect, Sam. And we so appreciate you taking the time. Glad we could do this. We love spending the time with you, Sam, and sharing about your great book, and then Covenant Eyes as well, and just having this conversation. So thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Awesome. Well, everybody out there, hope you have a great week and you're enjoying the weather, the spring, and we will check in with you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to hear more, please visit purevictorypodcast.com to subscribe. This podcast was made possible by the generous donations of our subscribers. If you would like to help support the cause financially, once again, please visit purevictorypodcast.com.